Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Moving on in our study to Quran chapter 12, the best of the Quran, that is the story of Joseph as how Muhammad destroyed the biblical account of Genesis. In our last broadcast, we talked about Pharaoh's dream from the Quran and from the Bible, and we discovered many discrepancies between the Quran story and the biblical account. But we ended by knowing that Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh in the Quran from the prison through the man who was saved. He meant the butler who took Joseph's interpretation back to Pharaoh. Or in the Bible, actually Joseph stood before Pharaoh as he interpreted his dreams. According to the Quran in chapter 12, beginning from verse 54, we read, "And the king said, bring him to me." He's talking here about Joseph. As he gave the order that he will be brought from the prison to him, "I will take him for myself." So when he, that is Joseph, has spoken with him, he said, that is the king of Egypt, "Surely today you are with us in a prominent position, secure." Now listen to the statement of Joseph, which goes exactly in the opposite of that which we read in the Genesis account. For in verse 55, we read, "He said," that is Joseph, "set me over the treasures of the land. Surely I am a keeper, knowledgeable." Excuse me, what? Yes, indeed. That's what Allah said in the Quran. Joseph requested the position to be the treasurer of Egypt. That is when he said, "Set me over the treasures of the land." And he was very humble spirit, bragged about himself and said, "I am a keeper, knowledgeable. Not only am I a good guy, but I have so much knowledge now, Mr. Pharaoh." In verse 56, "And likewise Allah is amen the saying of Joseph by saying, we established for Joseph in the land that he may choose from it whatever he wills. We gave our mercy to whom we will, and we do not waste the wage of the doers of good." That is like Allah is telling us he is rewarding Joseph because he was a good prophet. Verse 57, we read, "And the wage of the hereafter is bitter to those who believe and were fierce." So if you fear Allah and you believe in Allah, you get a better reward in the hereafter, which is obviously the paradise of Islam, the 72 forever virgins, the 300 pure boys, and on with the rivers of honey and the river of milk and the river of wine and the river of clear crystal water, and on with all the fruits of the garden. Now I want to share with you the true account of the Bible concerning how Joseph came to power. Did he ask to be the treasurer of Egypt, or because Pharaoh made him the second man in Egypt? Here is what the scripture teach in the book of Genesis chapter 41, beginning from verse 33. After Joseph interpreted the dream for Pharaoh, he said, "Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years." Notice here, Joseph did not say, "Select me, me, Mr. Pharaoh, I can do it. I'm a good keeper, I'm a wise man, I'm a very humble man." No. That's not what Joseph said, but he was simply suggesting to Pharaoh what he should do to bring the solution for the 7 famine years, which is to come after the 7 plentiful years. And notice here that he did not ask Pharaoh to save more than what they were harvesting, but simply to collect 20%, which means people can eat 80% of these plentiful years of harvest. Then in verse 35, we read, and let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. In verse 36, we read, then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. In verse 37, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Wow. Now Pharaoh knows that there is a true God. His name is not Pharaoh, but he is the God of Israel, the God of Joseph. In verse 39, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, in as much as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck, and he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Saphnath-Phaneah, and he gave him as a wife Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the 7th plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea, until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. And in verse 50 we read, and to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. These two sons, by the way, were never mentioned in the Quran nor in the Hadith. Then we read in verse 53, then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come. As Joseph had said, the famine was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, whatever he says to you, do. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all lands. Did you notice what we have done in the last few minutes? We just simply read the Bible, and anyone can read the Bible can easily understand what is written there, not in the case of the Quran, because simply the information is not there, and many contradictions and nonsensical material are added to the biblical account of Joseph. And that will bring us to the next important portion of the biblical account, which Muhammad copied in the Quran without any of this information which we read in Genesis account. That is why Joseph's brothers will be coming to Egypt like everybody else surrounding the land of Egypt seeking food.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at Vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
So let us go to Quran chapter 12 to learn about the first trip of Joseph's brothers to the land of Egypt. And we read about that beginning from verse 58. For there we read, "And Joseph's brothers came, so they entered to him. So he knew them, and they were unaware of him. And when he had provided them with their provision, he said, 'Bring me a brother of you from your father. Do you not see that I fill the measure and I am the best of the hosts? So if you do not bring him to me, so no measure will there be for you from me, nor will you come near me.'" Amazingly, almost like the story of the biblical account, except that Muhammad cut it so short, which makes men wonder how the world Muslim can once again understand the Quranic story without going back to the Bible. I mean, it seemed to me like just from the blue sky, after Joseph gave to his brother the provision, as we know that they did not know him, just from the blue sky, he said, "Bring me a brother of you from your father." Where's the information which is supposed to lead Joseph to ask such question as we read it in the biblical account? It does not exist in the Quran. And when you investigate that command of Joseph, when he said, "Bring me a brother of you from your father," why not from their mother? You see, that makes one wonder, what in the world is going on with the mind of those who wrote the Quran? Can they make it a little bit better than that to be accepted by logic and common sense? That's not what we read in the Bible. As we read the biblical account, you see, it makes more sense than that which we read in the Quran. Continuing in verse 61, they said, "We will persuade his father of him, and we will surely do that." And he said to his young men, "Put their merchandise into their bags. Perhaps they may know it when they return to their family. Perhaps they will come back." Joseph here used the word perhaps twice in that one verse, that's Quran chapter 12. And verse 62 does not make any sense. It seemed to me Joseph here does not know what is coming to this world in the next 6 or so years. Add to that, we must ask the question, what merchandise? When Joseph's brothers went to Egypt to get grain from the land of Egypt back to the land of Canaan, did they bring with them merchandise, or they brought something else, as we're going to be seeing in the Genesis account? And then, do you think if they have some specific merchandise which will be returned to their bags, will they know it, or perhaps they will know it? For sure they will know it. And are they coming back to gain more grain for the survival of themselves and their family, or perhaps they will come back? This is nonsense. It's like Joseph does not know that there will be famine for many years to come, and he does not know if they will come back or not. Perhaps it's a miracle of Muhammad in the Quran. It is the word which Allah used more than anybody else. That's why we talk about Allah, the God of perhaps. But now we can also talk about Prophet Joseph, the prophet of perhaps. Well, now let us examine together the same portion of the story of Joseph according to the biblical account, and that is what we read in the book of Genesis. In chapter 42, we read, when Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why do you look at one another? And he said, indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to the place and buy for us there, that we may live and not die. So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, lest some calamity befall him. And the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. And here we must stop. According to the Quran, the fulfillment of the dream of Joseph never took place, as we just have read. They did not bow down to him. Even though we know the Bible declared 2 times Joseph's brothers bowed down to their brother. Let's move on to verse 7. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. That's not what we read in the Quran. All what the Quran said that he recognized them, but they did not recognize him. How did he act with them? We do not read that anywhere in the words of Allah. The following conversation shows us how in the world Joseph asked his brothers to bring Benjamin with them on the following trip. According to the Quran, you have no clue why this ever took place. But continuing in verse 7, then he, that is Joseph, said to them, these are his brothers, where do you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them, you are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land. In verse 10, we read, and they, these are Joseph's brothers, said to him, no, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's sons. Why they said that we're all one man's sons? Because normally spies come from different people, families, because spies represent people groups, not just one family. So we continue in verse 11. We are all one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies. In verse 12, we read, but he, that is Joseph, said to them, no, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land. And they said, your servants are 12 brothers. You see what's happening here? Joseph is drawing information from his brothers without letting them know that he is Joseph. First, he said, you're spies. No, we're not. We're 10 brothers. No, you're spies. No, we're not. We actually are 12 brothers. in verse 13 once again, and they said, your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more. Man, oh man, that is the most precious news Joseph heard from his brothers, that Benjamin is still alive. But continuing with the roughness of his talk, Joseph said to his brothers in verse 14, it is as I spoke to you, saying, you are spies. In this manner, you shall be tested by the life of Pharaoh. Notice here, he did not say by Allah, as Muhammad always said in the Quran, but as a good Egyptian man, he swore by the life of Pharaoh. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. What led to that request? It is their own talk. What caused them to say what they said? It is the intelligence of how Joseph talked to his brothers. Then Joseph gives a command in verse 16, when he said, send one of you and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested to see whether there is any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. In our next broadcast, we'll continue our investigation to the true biblical account to see what exactly will happen to the brothers of Joseph. Will they be kept in prison, or will they be set free as Muhammad inserted in the Quran that they all went back to their father Jacob? And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.